Maybe
yeah,
she
maybe what? I've gone straight off topic already, straight away. You're all from Middlesbrough, mate. Yeah. And you've been to war 5 times, so you say, on your...
yeah, well, I did 5 operational deployments. So I just say went to war 5 times. But, I mean, technically, I went to more war zones than that, really. Like, I went to Sierra Leone, but that didn't really count as an op when I went. Op Palliser was the op when it first kicked off.
Yeah.
I went, like, a year after doing mentoring and training for the Sierra
Leone. But you've still been out there, haven't you?
But I've still been. So 6, if you include that. I deployed to Northern Ireland when that was early doors. I went there. He invaded Iraq, and I liked it so much I went back again. And then I went to Afghanistan 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did all sorts of me.
Yeah. And you've said that Iraq and Afghanistan is more scenic than northeast England.
Yeah, that was a running joke when I was in the car, because everybody knows Middlesbrough's rough.
Yeah.
And they used
I've to drove through it a few times on that big motorway that you look down.
Yeah. Well, that's why they send all the refugees to Middlesbrough, don't they? Because a good percentage of them want to fucking go back.
Yeah, I'm
going to
say, that's it, isn't it? They're going to say like that. But I've been a couple of times. If I've got mates who used to drive all the way from Loughborough, from Colville, up to Middlesbrough to get a tattoo. Because he knew the bloke up there did a tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Well, there is a couple of good tattoo artists up there, apparently.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the Afghans, one look out the bus window at Middlesbrough coach station to take me back to
Take me back to Helmand province. Now, right, moving on then, mate. I bought you a couple of things. Right.
Get in. Booze.
Right, I've bought you...
I can hear it rattling.
The Clarkson Cider.
Oh, champ.
So, not that open.
Champ off.
Do you recognise one of them?
Of course I recognise.
That's come from where you have been as well.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Nice one.
And I've also, now then, I did a video the other day, food of our childhood. And you mentioned a Dairy Lee and prawn crisp sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go, mate. You can either eat it now or take it home with you in the van.
That's class, because I only just got off the flight yesterday. And I always miss English food. And one of them, the first thing I got when I got off the plane was a cheese savoury.
Right.
And now I'm just really fancy some prawn cocktail crisps.
Happy days then. Got
you
sorted.
Look at that. Cheers,
yeah, mate. That's all right. I've also bought you. Now, I don't know if you know of Robbie Knox. He used to be on Soccer AM.
I know he is, yeah.
Right, well, I'm mates with Robbie, and he started doing his own beers. You won't know this, because if you watch this, Robbie, he's in America all the time. And he's made his own lager.
Oh, right.
No, that's not lager, that's a cider, but it goes perfectly with a sausage roll.
Oh, I'm loving life, mate.
So have a sausage roll and that, and it really, really does match together.
Spot on.
Yeah, and then I've also got you a bottle of that as well for you and your old fella.
Oh, spoil me, Dave.
That's it.
If I knew people give me this much booze when I do a podcast, I'll come on a few more.
Yeah, it's all right. So, happy days.
Cheers, mate.
In fact, you can have the other sandwich then. So I made myself one. But that's all right. I'm going to eat mine tonight. So the wife can eat that as well as the way home.
Nice one.
So, you happy with that?
Yeah, loving it.
Good stuff. Right, so let's crack on. Now, you say you're British by birth. You got that bottle open? I'll have one.
Yeah.
I've bought another bottle for your missus as well, or you can...
All right. She'd want me to have it. She's in Wetherspoons, so she's loving life as well.
Now then, you say, well, you are British, but you're American by choice, and you have an interest in politics on both sides of the Atlantic. I love that, because a lot of people, nowadays kids, they don't show any interest in politics. But if they do show an interest, it's normally the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Because, so what got you into politics, really? Have you always been interested in politics from a kid's age? Or
No. I think that, you know, the old adage that I think a lot of people incorrectly attribute to Winston Churchill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Saying if you're not a liberal at 30, you've got no heart. And if you're not a conservative at 40, you've got no brain.
Yeah.
Apparently it wasn't him. Apparently it's been said for thousands of years.
Really?
It might have been Aristotle or something. But it would be true in my case as well. I certainly had no real interest in politics when I was in my, like, early 20s.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, I agree with that statement. When you're 21, you're out pissing up.
Yeah.
Trying to get your end away and
exactly.
Basically living
fag
life.
Shags
and
kebabs in it. That's all you do, innit?
Yeah. Cash, gash, pie, and mash.
Isn't it? That's all it is. I mean, I used to work with my dad. I used to fit the double glazing. Now, people will probably moan at this, but under Thatcher, me and my dad never had it so good.
Yeah.
We were just fucking raking it in.
My nana said the same. Yeah. So she got me, she always told me Thatcher was the best Prime Minister because my nana worked all her life. Again, poor working class, not... I mean, she's from Middlesbrough. There's not many more deprived places.
No.
She worked in a chippy. She was a taxi driver. It was like...
Just push that mic a bit close to you, mate, because I've just realised I've been in here for a bit and it sometimes it don't carry, so...
All right, got it.
That's it.
And she said that she got 2 grants for her house under Thatcher. So as I understand it, she was more akin to, like, actually checking your records and seeing if you'd worked hard and you'd been pulling your pudding out for 15 years, she'd give you something. Whereas now we have this attitude where people that have never paid a single penny in just rock up and take advantage of the system. And it's not about being a tight bastard. I understand that there's people in need and when we have...
Yeah.
A responsibility to help them. Again, I'm a sort of milquetoast centrist at the end of the day.
Well, I've always said I'm a centrist.
I definitely am.
Yeah.
But it's but nowadays, they've sort of moved the Overton window so far.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at it. The core Boris Johnson far right. I find it insulting.
Yeah.
When these terms exist for a reason, right? And what I would argue is, you've got all these things that people dress up in different ways using this sneaky language. But I would argue that it's extremely insulting to call someone a fascist who isn't one.
Yeah.
Because that term should mean something and it should shock you.
Yeah.
In the same way how, like, people who play the race card or women who accuse a man of raping them just to get a revenge on them.
Yeah.
In the same way that behaviour cheapens it and makes it more difficult for the actual victims of rape or the actual victims of racism.
Yeah.
Because some poor bastard out there actually will get.
Yeah.
Like, he won't get a job purely because he's black.
Yeah.
Because the guy interviewing will be one of those rare people that's genuinely bigoted. And no one listens because they just go, yeah, everyone's lies about that all the time now. And seriously, Mussolini was a fascist.
Yeah, a proper one, weren't it?
To call someone like Boris Johnson one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were of Jewish heritage and two of your grandparents got gassed in Auschwitz, I think you'd be a bit insulted if every single person that annoys a Guardian reader gets called a fascist.
This is it, isn't it? Any argument always goes down to the fact that, well, you're a fascist, you're a Nazi, and this is it. You obviously haven't got a fucking clue
what those terms mean.
A fascist is or a Nazi is. You haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
And it is quite insulting to just, I don't know, Boris Johnson's just an insult anyway, isn't he? To anybody.
You know, I voted for him, I'm embarrassed to say.
Yeah.
And it's only been a couple of years, and now it's like I've got no time for him at all.
Well, I did the same, because I wanted the Brexit thing done. I wanted it, because of the result, I mean, people will keep going on at me now, but because of the result, I wanted it sorted, and he was the only one who was going to sort it. People will come and say, oh, well, Brexit is a mess now. Well, Brexit really hasn't had a chance as such because of the COVID thing.
No, they're not.
I don't know how you can really compare Brexit done now when the last 2.5 years we've had.
They haven't put any effort in. I think they don't want it to succeed, so they haven't put any effort in.
Yeah.
But you certainly couldn't gauge the last few years. Again, right, so one of my conspiracy theories, if you could call it that, regarding COVID, was that, again, full caveat, I'm not a vaccine denier.
Yeah.
Instantly now everyone just calls you an anti-vaxxer
as soon as you question
anything. And it's the same old thing, like, you can't say things to me that make no sense at all using the dictionary, right? So I've had dozens of vaccines and I got me COVID one.
Yeah.
Because I flew over to the States.
Yeah, you had to, didn't
so
you?
So I've had it. So don't tell me that I'm an anti-vaxxer when I've had the bastard thing. It's like calling me a vegan activist when I'm in KFC. Like, have you seen what I'm eating? I've got a chicken leg in my mouth and you're calling me... It's logical. So, but one thing I think is true is it is irrational to assume that... basically, in a nutshell, people that are typically someone who's a left winger is not averse to risk.
No.
This is typical political spectrum, right? And people who are right wingers, conservatives, are risk averse. And people like Jordan Peterson, clever educated people, have talked about how for your society to succeed, you need both types.
Yes.
Because you need the conservative people make the best managers, the best organisers.
Yeah.
And the liberal people make the best inventors because they take risks, they're ingenuitive. But that has flipped completely on its head for the pandemic, which shows you that even that has got a political response. Because you think about this logically, it's a virus.
Yeah.
But you know, depending on how somebody votes, whether or not they think we should have had a certain response to the virus, i.e. if you're a Guardian reader, you think that we should lock everybody in their house for another year.
Yeah.
And if you're a conservative person or a libertarian, you think we should get back to work.
Yeah.
That proves...
I'm saying get back to work.
And that proves that the whole thing has been a political game.
It has, isn't it? It's just... You've just got to... It's, oh, I don't know, it's so hard to explain, but some people just like are so, they're so terrified of making a decision and they can't carry it through. But you do, you're right, where you've got your left and the right or the centrist or whatever, they just, you do just know who they vote. But there again, I will say, when they were doing all the protests in London, we were watching it and we did seem to find a mix of left and right coming together and saying, this is wrong, what's happening?
Yeah.
It was, we were watching it quite a lot before this Suzar took it down.
Yeah, my nemesis.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, that's another example.
Yes.
Political partisan, yeah, with regards to a virus.
Mm.
It's lunacy.
Yeah,
and when you're saying left and right, yeah, you're getting a good mixture, but that's going to be your old lefties.
Oh, yes. Centre left. Yeah. Peter, Corbyn's brother and all them.
The old, like Michael Foot, Tony Benn, people like, yeah, that. These people, what we recognise as left, yeah, this isn't the current lot.
No, no, it ain't. That's it. See, this is another thing I can't understand. Tony Benn and all them and Michael Foot in his donkey jacket, they were left wing, weren't they? They were like, nowadays.
But now, it's an inherently bourgeois movement. They're all upper class, middle class, Guardian reading, BBC, yeah, choppers,
yeah,
who have got no interest in the working class.
You can't tell me Starman that he's interested.
Sir. the clue's in the name, isn't it? Sir Keir.
Jimmy Savile.
Sir Keir. He sounds like a twat.
Yeah.
You know these people. It's a bourgeois movement. They're upwardly mobile, middle-class, yeah, arseholes who have no feeling for or like of the working class.
No. They don't give a fuck about us, Starman,
care
does
they?
Work.
No.
Don't give a fuck if we're eating rolling Tesco around cornflakes, yeah, or bloody Kellogg's cornflakes. They're just fucking idiots. So then, mate, tell us about a young bootneck. How did you get on at school? Were you in trouble? Were you...
No. I think it'd be I'd love to give you some cool stories about I was like, you know, I was on the wrong track and I turned my life around. But no, not really. I mean, although maybe I've got lower expectations because I'm from Middlesbrough. So what I class as not being a troubled upbringing, maybe it was.
Yeah.
The only kid in my school not to be a heroin addict. No, I didn't really have a troubled upbringing. For Middlesbrough, I had an all right time.
Yeah.
I got one A in my GCSEs.
Really?
I got an A in English literature.
Fair play, though. I didn't even turn up for half a month. Did you?
No. So I didn't do terrible. I didn't do brilliant in my GCSEs, but I didn't do terrible. But basically, it was the sort of done thing in Middlesbrough in the early 90s. Everyone worked in the steel industry.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's what we are, the Ironsiders.
Yeah.
That's the borough.
Yeah.
So as, like everybody else, I left school and just started working in the industry, and because back then we had one.
Yeah.
People used to get an apprenticeship or do a YT, and you'd start working as a welder or a plater, yeah, or a boilermaker.
YT,
or
so you, half you lot don't even know what a YTS is, do you?
Yeah, youth training scheme.
Fucking £26 a week.
It was £29.50 when I left school.
Well, yeah. I had to go and work at Pepper and Matthews, a removal firm, because I wanted to be a lorry driver. That one went to.
Oh,
in,
yeah.
So, yeah, £26 something for me.
Yeah, but £29.50. And then I started doing that for a couple of years. And I was always into the military,
yeah,
as a young lad. So I was in the TA.
So was that because of the family? Was that you got a history in the family? Or
Yeah, both both my granddads were actually like infantry fighting in the Second World War, and they always used to. And if you think about it, this is another mad thing to me, which is one of the reasons why we're in the trouble we're in, because really it wasn't that far out of the Second World War when we were kids, if you think about it.
Yeah, because
it wasn't that far. Like, I was born in 79. So when my granddad's telling me stories about the war in like 1988,
yeah,
I mean, you're only 40 years out.
Yeah, well, I was born in 68. My granddad, my mum's granddad, he never spoke about it, never fucking spoke about it at all. My dad's dad, he was on the Atlantic in a frigate or something, you know, protecting the ships coming over. And he got all kinds of shit on his lung, and so he died early, like, but yeah, it's...
Yeah, so it's understandable that we have a more, in the 80s and the 90s, every one of us, even if you didn't go in the military,
yeah,
you had a more adventurous sort of militaristic spirit, I think.
Yeah, I think you're,
we had a lot of pride in our history,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
We're a seafaring nation as well.
Yeah,
you know, there's
be
a lot of history for
fucking
the British.
Island.
Yeah, so it's natural for us, I think. So I joined the TA when I was 16. My dad said, oh, you should do that. It's good, like, you knew a lot of lads who were in. And then I was always thinking about going in for something better because my dad said, like, oh, if you go in properly, you want to do top of the tree.
Yeah.
And to us, that was either the Marines or the Paras.
Yeah.
And I was talking to them about it, umming and ahhing, you know what I mean? Because it is a big step.
It's fucking massive, really, isn't
it? Yeah, because it's deservedly got the hard reputation it's got.
Yeah.
But then, you know, his mate Peter was a sergeant major, and he said to me, oh, you should go in for the Marines if you can do it. He said they're viewed as being a bit more intellectually capable than... The paras are a bit crayon-eatery for us, aren't they? They joke about the Marines in America eating crayons. We tend to piss out the paras, but, you know, good fit, hardy lads. But to me, I was always told by the lads in the Northeast that the Marines was a slightly more...
Yeah.
Slightly more well thought of.
I suppose that was when you had to be fit to join and not like the fucking...
Yeah, not now, yeah. You can just be a slug.
Unisex uniform.
yeah. Unisex leotard.
So the opposition could laugh at you.
Yeah. But and then the thing that really pushed me to do it, so I was always thinking about it, and then in 1997 was the Luxor tourist massacre.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was what pushed me to join. Really? I remember being sat in the cabin, vividly being sat in the cabin at work, and this is another thing I've always said about why British people seem to be good with, in better than the Americans in politics.
Yeah.
With regards to the average, and I mean, I don't wish to sound disparaging to the Americans, but I've lived there for 8 years now, and some of them are.
Be careful. Let's still have Americans watching.
I know, but again, obviously not all of them, but on average, a blue collar worker in the United States doesn't seem to follow on as much as they do in the UK, and I think it's part of our cultural thing for like the working class to like. Always buy a paper on the way to work.
Yeah.
And you know, I remember because everyone in the cabin used to get a different paper.
Yeah, well, that's what we used to do. I used to make plastic. Everybody bought a different paper.
Yeah. And I remember sitting in the cabin the day after that happened, and I read that Bob got the star and Dave got the mirror and Danny got the mail, and reading through them all, and everyone covered the Luxor tourist massacre in varying details, and some of them were horrific to read. Basically, it was... November 97, I think it was. And then they killed about 60 people, bashed the little kids' heads in. I think there was an English kid died who was like 5.
Yeah.
Just the most grotesque thing. And I was reading it and it made me so angry. I remember palpably feeling thinking of the despair that you'd feel if you'd just seen your wife get raped and you get your kids got just the head smashed in. And then I was just thinking of the despair you'd feel before you got shot, thinking... It'd be so meaningless. Like, it made me genuinely angry. And the next day, I went into Korea's office on Friday. It was like a Thursday, it must have been. Because I remember on the Friday, I went to the Korea's office because I got out of work early on a Friday.
Yeah.
I always used to get out at like 11 o'clock, didn't you? Yeah. And back in the good old days.
Oh, yeah, off one with me. Yeah.
And I went down, and then next thing, went from there, walked in, straight in, and the bloke was like, what can I help you with? And I was like, I want to join the Marines. And they were like, talk to him. And then obviously a big unit got up and he was like, follow me, son.
Yeah.
And next thing I was doing pull-ups out the back.
Really?
Yeah, he had a pull-up bar.
Is that what they were doing, straight away?
Straight away, And then I went out the back and he said, how many can you do? And I went, I don't know, 10. And he went, go on then. And I started doing pull-ups, and he was like, oh, you're not bad. I think I did 7 or something. So he said, right, well, then we'll get started. And then I did a written test and medical and all of that. I'll tell you, this will make you laugh. I do remember from the medical, back in the day, how much did we used to drink in the 90s? It was ridiculous.
Fucking unbelievable. Burra, I'll tell you what, if I had to met my missus, I'm sure I'd have been dead by now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Burra was class, right? Yeah, and I remember Monday night, the arena, it was £5 in all you could drink.
Yeah.
They used to give you a bottle of beer when you walked in, and when you finish it, you take it to the bar. They give you a new one. It was a £5 in all you can drink, and then a year later, it went up to £6. But when I joined the corps, it was still £6 in all you can drink, right? So Monday night was always on the piss. Tuesday night was ladies' night in like the Crown or somewhere where the girls got in for half price and all the drinks were 50 pence. So we used to always go out Tuesday. Wednesday was the only night off I used to have. And then Thursday I used to go to the theatre. Friday I used to go out to Millennium in Teesside Park. It was £1 a bottle all night. Saturday I'd piss. And then Sunday I'd always go drinking with my dad and my local. So I only used to have like one day off a week.
Yeah, I used to have Monday night because I used to watch like the Sweeney or Minder or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I remember back to the story about this being a medical one because I do go off on a tangent. I remember doing my medical with a doctor in Middlesbrough and he said to me, right, how many pints do you drink? And just being a young lad and not dishonest, I remember I put it together in my head in about half a second. I went, 80. And he went, 80? And I went, I was like, let's say 10 when I go out. Yeah. 1 or 2, or 10, or I thought 12 when I go out. Like 6 days a week, 80.
But it is 70,
80. And he said to me, I'll just put down 10. because I don't know why. Maybe they wouldn't let you in if they thought you were an alcohol.
The thing is, that's what you did when in the 90s. For fuck's sake, I was absolutely hammered half my time. I wasn't an alcoholic. I didn't wake up needing one, but
it was normal.
It was normal to go out and get drunk.
Yeah, it was normal.
Yeah.
And this is why I tell you, why I feel as if the kids are getting stitched up. And you understand why the kids are all being embracing this woke commie bollocks. Because how do you convince young kids to be capitalists when they can't build any capital?
Yeah.
And think about how much they get ripped off now. When we were bairns, it was, I was earning 150 quid a week or whatever when I was doing boiler making in Teesside. 150 quid a week, right? But it was 89 pence for a pint in the Wetherspoons in town. So now they might be earning 400, but it's like 6 quid for a pint. Like, oh, that's not just inflation. If you went, you couldn't afford to go on the piss 5 nights a week now.
Well, I watched something the other day where somebody went shopping in the 1977, and he went around Tesco's and he bought burgers, bread, milk, whatever. And I think it comes something like £4.28. So I did a quick on the internet, and it was the equivalent of £28.
Now. Right, yeah.
So I don't know why I've just said that, to be fair. You know what I mean? I'm just saying it's inflation.
Inflation. But what I'm saying is, if you think about it just in price of a pint, you can see that it's more than inflation. It's ridiculous. They've ramped it up. Yeah. It's a little bit of stealth tax every time, every time they do a budget.
Yeah.
And just young kids, you couldn't afford to go out and have the time of their life like we used to.
No, I know what you mean. When I started drinking 88 and that, fucking hell.
Yeah, it was cheap and fun. Yeah. Like I said,
chips and fags.
Quality. Cheesy chips, get in.
Garlic mayo.
I don't envy the kids.
I don't envy them. My kid now, she works on most Friday Saturdays in the local shop, and she's not missing out on anything, I don't think. And you go in there, and there's always somebody who wants to have a fight with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake. They just do your head in, don't they? So, so what do you think you'd done if you hadn't joined up?
I'd have probably stayed where I was. It's common where I live. I'd have ended up getting all my qualifications. I've probably been a welder.
Yeah.
I like welding.
Does it still work up Middlesbrough then? Is it there? If you're prepared to put it in, is it there? It's like most places, isn't it?
It's definitely worse than it was. And I do remember all the old boys telling me when Tony Blair won, because that'll have been about that time, right?
Yeah, 97 when
I joined the Corps in 99. 97 I was working like as a teenager.
Things can only get better.
And I remember the old boys telling me, this is all going to go. Now Blair's won.
Yeah.
Remember when the old boys told me, this is all going to go. And he was right.
Yeah.
It decimated the industry.
Yeah, he did, didn't it?
Blair, the United Kingdom. It's not hyperbole.
No.
He totally stitched us all up.
And then he stitched up Iraq, and he stitched up Iran, Afghanistan. He just did everybody.
Fucked up the whole world.
He has. And he's still coming out now, isn't he?
I know. Well, see, and this is the argument I have with daft, wet, woke liberals in America, right, about Trump. I was in a brewery a couple of weeks ago, and I was arguing with a daft, wet lefty, because, again, I'm argumentative. That's my personality type.
I don't think anybody who's watching this would realise that.
But I can't help it. It's my personality type. And the ENTP, because I do love all that stuff.
Yeah.
I find it to be fascinating how accurate it was. Mm. Your mileage may vary on that, but my wife, when I showed her my test and the results, she was like, they must have a camera in our house. Because it said, and it has your strengths and your weaknesses. Yeah. And my weaknesses were intolerant, argumentative, and what was the other one? Insensitive.
So is this where the name Angry Bootneck came from?
Yeah, because I come across as that. I'm not that angry, really, but I come across as very intolerant, insensitive, because when you're a logic mindset, you don't like arguments from emotion. So when people say to me, oh, yeah, but I feel this way.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care.
No.
I don't care about your feelings. I only care about facts, data, logic, like a Vulcan. I try and apply Vulcan logic to things.
Yeah.
And that's why I come across as insensitive, because it's like, yeah, but I don't care. If you're saying, I feel this way because I'm very sad, I was like, yeah, but give me some numbers.
Yeah.
Give me some data.
I know exactly what you mean, because I argue on Facebook and it's like, I don't care how you're right. I don't care how you feel. I just want to say that you're wrong.
Yeah, you are wrong.
You are just completely wrong.
And I'm not going to lie to sugar the pill to make you feel better.
And they'll say, give us some facts. And then so you go on the internet, you find out the facts, you send them to, oh, well, yeah, but what about this? You think, oh, for fuck's sake, I've just given you the facts you're wrong.
You just reminded me of a good one there. I remember on Quora I was arguing with this woman, right?
Yeah.
You can find it. If you go on Quora and look for it, the argument was something like, what's easier when you're a conservative? And I put, winning an argument. Because I said, I'll give you an example. And I spent a long time making this post, but basically, I was in a group in Hollywood. There was a bloke who followed me channel and he put me onto it and made me join this group. He invited me. Brits in LA.
Right.
Now, you have never met a more self-absorbed bunch of absolute chiselers in all your life than Brits in LA.
Yeah.
Every one of them is like a woke lovey because they all moved out there wanting to be actors despite not having the talent or looks to be an actor.
They're like Meghan Markle, really.
Yeah, yeah. But basically, yeah, like when Prince Charles said, oh, why does everybody get above the station?
Yeah.
And everyone got, oh, look at him, this aloof prick. And I was like, he's right.
Yeah.
Prince Charles basically said, only in Britain have we got fat, ugly people who want to be models, people who can't sing who want to be singers. It's like, listen, I'm being realistic. I don't think I could be a model because I'm a little short, hairy bastard.
Yeah.
Why do people think they can do whatever they want? These talentless people move to Hollywood, think they're going to be an actor.
I tell you what, because these silly fuckers who teach them say, you can do anything.
You're the best in the world.
Yeah, you'll be brilliant. Yeah. Do it. Go, follow your dream. Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Your dreams are...
You've got a fucking face like a melted welly. You can only be a balaclava model if you're going to be a model. Yeah. A glove model.
Fucking eye, sticky that.
But like, so basically, I was in this group. I got through out about 3 weeks later. Because of this, right, this silly mayor, it was the election running up to it, felt strongly about Brexit.
I got kicked out.
And this silly mayor was in there saying, make sure you register. If you used to be registered in the UK, you can pick any address you want, register it somewhere in a marginal so you can vote there and get someone like Ian Duncan Smith kicked out of office. And I said... Right. I'm pretty sure this is illegal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she went, no, it's not. Go and do some research. So...
You did.
I wrote an email to the constituency office of Ian Duncan Smith.
Right.
I said, hello there. I put it all on Quarry and see it all. I'm just wondering. I was told by an Indian woman living in the United States to register at Ian's constituency to vote against him. Is this legal? And then she sent me a big email back saying, hello, Matthew. Totally official from the local election register. This is highly illegal. Thanks for bringing it to our attention, so and so. So I took a screen cap of the email and put it in the Facebook group and said, there you go, love. I did my research. It's illegal. And she put, oh, Matt, go and read a book. Not Mein Kampf this time.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. So it's literally like, there's this woman telling people to do illegal things in a Facebook group. I went on and said, you're not allowed to do that. It's illegal. She said, no, it is. It's legal.
Yeah.
I then showed her the email from the electoral roll in the UK. Yeah. And she said, don't go and read Mein Kampf. It was like, so your response to my logical, reasonable, correct post is you're a Nazi.
Yeah. Godwin's law.
Lunacy. Yeah, yeah, it is Godwin's law. You're a Nazi.
That's what it is, yeah.
I was like, hang on, you're trying to rig an election and I'm the Nazi.
Yeah.
So these people are maniacs.
Yeah, because they reckon that every argument, he's come out with this thing, that every argument will turn out that at the end, you get called a Nazi.
On the internet, eventually, they will call you a Nazi, yeah.
They'll call you a fucking pub.
Yeah, it's lunacy.
Yeah.
So yeah, oh yeah, I keep going on a tangent because I'm a gobshite. I was going to tell you about a story in the brewery. And in the brewery, it was this bloke was saying, Trump's a fascist, right? And it's that same argument. I can't hear it and not say, like, because again, I'm argumentative. I can't say, he isn't, though, is he?
No.
There's a dictionary definition for this. I said, and I don't love him. I call him the orange god to wind people up. I don't love Trump. No. I didn't vote for Trump. I'm American, and I didn't vote for Trump.
Right.
I wrote in Tulsi Gabbard. I didn't vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because being an English liberal, I still have issues with the sort of devout religious conservatism of republicanism.
Yes, yeah.
I have since decided I'll hold my nose and vote Republican in the next election. Because I've had enough of the insane woke. But 2 years ago, I was still labouring under the delusion I was a Democrat.
Yeah.
And I said, but he's not, is he? I said, he's charmless, he's annoying, he's got his flaws. But he is a normal American businessman, capitalist, who just wants to, he's slightly right of some people.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you a fascist.
No,
it's not illegal to be a conservative.
No,
and this is what really makes me hate them, because they are the authoritarians.
Yeah.
You're allowed to vote conservative. Yeah. They make out as if you vote conservative, you're a fascist Nazi. Yes. It's like, no, there's fascist parties, and I'm not voting for them. There's nothing wrong with being a fucking boring, middle-of-the-road conservative.
It's basically when they haven't got an argument left, they just have to call you a name.
Yeah, but it's not an argument, is it?
No, it ain't a fucking argument. It's just a joke. It's because this is, one of these things where, because of the state of the world, state of the country, and the way people are spoken to, they haven't got the ability to debate. Because somebody will shut them down on Twitter or Facebook or something. The kids of today haven't got the ability just to debate and think of another argument from the other. When I have an argument, I'll have an argument with myself first.
Yeah.
And then tennis it in my head.
Scrutinise your beliefs.
And then I've got, well, if they say this, I say that. But the kids nowadays, they just can't do it, because if they don't agree, right, I'll shut you down, I'll report you. Oh, for fuck's sake. Well done.
It's ridiculous.
Fucking frightening.
And like I said, that's what really grinds my gears. It's the it's the idea that if you disagree with someone who is far left, because again, these aren't normal left-wing people.
No,
woke,
they're not.
The people that call themselves woke are not normal. They're not centre-left.
No.
They are far, far, far left extremists. And then if you're right of them, you're a fascist. Yeah. I was like, no, there's about 10 mile in between those positions.
There is. It's so fucking ridiculous. Unreal.
And you could see it when Joe Rogan came out and they were calling Joe Rogan a right-winger.
What a legend.
A Nazi. Yeah, because he's normal. Yeah. He's a normal
bloke. He's normal. Normal.
And they made a list. You'll laugh at this because you're English. You know exactly who I'm talking about. They made a list of all the people who were right and who were left. It was, we'll prove Joe Rogan's right-wing bias by putting into this. So they made a chart on Twitter.
Yeah.
How many left-wing guests he's had and how many right-wing guests he's had. The right-wing guest list was massive, right? Top name on there, Russell Brand.
Really?
And we know, being English, Russell Brand was like a full-blown socialist about 10 years ago. Yeah. He's been left-wing all his life. Yeah. And the second you disagree with an extremist lefty commie loony, they go, oh my God, he's far-right. Russell Brand. If Russell Brand's far-right, every single one of us is far-right.
Do you watch his on YouTube?
I do, yeah. Every now and then. I don't watch him loads because I don't love him. Again, because I think he's a bit of a... He's a proper lefty.
Yeah.
And he's just been dragged over by... The events
he's probably become, like you just said at the beginning, when you get to 40, you move.
Yeah, and he probably has
moved over, because some of the stuff he does is really, and it's like, it's got to, people who like Russell Brand, even the lefties, can have got to listen to him and think, fucking hell, he's right.
Yeah.
Surely. So.
It's mad. So, yeah, if Russell Brand is a right-wing fascist, we all are. It's all I can say.
Stepping around his living room.
Yeah, Russell Brand. I remember seeing him, push someone in a fountain with his cock out. With his cock out and a fucking and a hammer and sickle on his chest. It's like, if he's a far-right Nazi, we all are.
What the fucking hell's that? So, anyway, moving on, mate. Because that was quite good. Right. So, when you actually flew out to Iraq and that and Iran, Afghanistan, I don't know why I keep saying them. when you go on holiday, you get there, it's the tremendous heat when you walk off a plane. But this time, you're actually walking into a war zone. What are your emotions and what are you feeling? It's like, I would say it's something like playing in a cup final, but obviously, there's not a chance of you or your family dying in a cup final.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, that happens now with all the... might be linked to jabs, but we can't talk about that, can we?
1,300 side effects.
Yeah, can't talk about that. Susan will get you by the short and curlies. All I will say is, ultimately, you've had a lot said about military training, haven't you, by politicians who say it's bullying.
Mm.
And it isn't bullying.
No.
And I feel strongly about this. They're basically sagaciously saving your life. They are rigorously training you in an aggressive manner to save your life.
Yeah.
The corporals that thrashed me till my eyes bled didn't do it because they didn't like me.
Yeah.
They did it because they need to separate the wheat from the chaff and get the people out that aren't suited to it.
Exactly.
So I joined up with lads. You have to do your PRMC. You have to do training before you get there. You go down there for your potential Royal Marines course for a week. You get thrashed. 2/3 of the people fail that. And then when they've done loads of them, you have enough people to start a troop and then you start training. And I started with about 76 lads. And I think by week 8, it was after you'd done the first couple of exercises, we were down to about 19. Less, I think it was 16 or 17. Basically, most people who try fail.
Fucking hell.
Because they need to make sure that anyone who's going to deploy is going to have it in them to deal with it.
You don't want a weak link in there.
No, and there's no shame in trying and failing.
No. I'd take my hat off to, I mean, if I'd had a hat, I would take my hats off to anybody who thought, I'm going to have a go at
this. Who even had a go.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. There's no shame in failing. Nobody thinks
fucking ain't.
And they tell you that when you're a young lad. The man in the arena, I remember them, they put that speech on the wall in our training block. You know the speech, The Man in the Arena by Teddy Roosevelt?
No, I can't.
And he said, it's like, the credit belongs to the man in the arena. It's not the person who points out at the strong man who stumbles. Yeah. It's the man who, if he fails, at least he fails whilst daring greatly.
Yeah.
It's a great speech.
Yeah.
And that's why they do it.
Yeah.
It's so that when you get deployed, you're going to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
And if you can't, well, get another job, do something else, join a different branch. A lot of people, most of them that left joined the Navy or the Army. Yeah. Did something
I would say fair play. But see, again, this is just going back to something else we spoke about. Kids nowadays, they're not allowed to fail. It's it just seems funny that you can't go and try and do something and fail. It's all this, they're all wrapped up in cotton wool and fucking bubble wrap.
They are, exactly. No. Good side, that, by the way.
It is, isn't it? I was like, just going to say what's
decent,
it like.
Decent, like, it's just, I like them when they're more like Strongbow rather than sweet.
Yeah, I said that.
Good stuff.
When I reviewed it, I said it's like Strongbow and a bit like Blackthorn. It's really good. Yeah, it's just simple, no-frills cider, isn't it? Yeah.
So answer the question. Not, we won't go off on a booze tangent. They've got you ready for it.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, they say to you when they're thrashing you, because they do torture you. It's basically torture.
Yeah.
Firstly, especially for the first sort of 10 weeks, just to get the separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, remember them telling us, train hard so you fight easy.
Mm.
And I swear to God, nothing I did in my career was anywhere near as bad as training. Yeah. People would say, like, we were in Iraq, no sleep.
Yeah.
Shocking. The first helicopter went down, killed everyone on board. One of my mates from training was on that, like, called Sholto Henderskog. Okay. He went on the first chopper that went in. You've got trauma to deal with. Nothing was as bad as me training. No matter what happened, I was always thinking, at least I'm not back at Bastard Limston.
Yeah.
It was horrendous. So they've got you ready for it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that bad. Mm. Not because I'm a tough guy. It's because everyone who's been through that to the end can handle it.
Which, when I hear about these things, like, I mean, this, you know, this is a terrible thing when lads were dying, when they were training down south somewhere near Stonehenge. What's that fucking place?
On Salisbury.
Yeah, that's it. And didn't a couple of lads die there, or one lad died and they were saying, oh, it's...
There's been a lot lately. Yeah. There was two on selection died of dehydration, I think it was, when it was sunny. That's Special Forces selection.
Yeah.
There was a bootneck lad who drowned a couple of years ago. There's been a lot.
Yeah.
When I was, my training team, he was Corporal Wild Goose, he was. He's probably listening. I know he's seen my channel. He took me through training. The troop before mine that he took through, there was a lad drowned in Peter's Pool. And then when I was in about week six, there was a death. A lad got shot in the face by accident.
Fucking hell.
So to be rigorously trained, you have to take risks.
Yeah.
Because they have to create the feeling of genuine terror.
Yeah.
You have to be afraid when you're training. So your adrenaline's pumping.
Yeah.
And then they're shooting rounds over your head and that. And then you have to be, they're trying to make it as realistic as they can for a reason. So anyone who's done it is ready for it. And I can hand on heart say it wasn't that difficult. Because of the training. Like, nothing I ever did
so
was anywhere near.
So war was
definitely easier,
easier
than training.
Easier than training.
They always say that. Train hard, fight easy. And in the Marines, certainly, they've always lived by that mantra. And it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. I was like, at least I'm not crawling through the nettles with my balls out like I was at Limston. Do you know what I mean? That's what they do. They don't let you sleep. They torture you. So, it wasn't that bad. Emotions weren't that high. The only thing I did get, I got a bit sentimental, is when we jumped out of the helicopter in Iraq and I seen it, I thought, this place is much nicer than Middlesbrough. So that was the only time I got a bit sentimental. It reminded me of home.
See, I'm terrified of flying. I'm fucked.
Straight away. Really?
For fucking... I won tickets once. So me and my mate went to Munich to a beer festival. And we were in the planes flying up and we hit turbulence and I fucking hated it and I was absolutely shitting myself and I hated flying ever since then. Love the takeoff.
Yeah.
When he drops the clutch and you fly down that, I hate it. Okay,
proper turbulence is bad.
Yeah.
I've flew hundreds of times and people think they've had bad turbulence.
Yeah.
They haven't.
Yeah.
I think I've only had really bad turbulence once and that was in military. It was flying back from Afghanistan in a C-130.
Is that a big Hercules?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember that dropped about, when you get proper bad turbulence, it drops about 200 foot in 5 seconds
and
or something.
It's
like, and I remember people looking out the window and there was a few girls on it and they were crying.
Mm.
That's when you know you've got
bad
turbulence.
I think I probably would have been crying as well.
Yeah. When you're on Virgin Atlantic and you get bam, 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 that's not bad turbulence.
No.
Bad turbulence is, you drop 200 foot in 3 seconds and everybody shits themselves.
It's just, and all your drinks go up and everything, don't it? It's all over your fucking shirt and that. So there's a lot of it going about colds at the moment.
So, makes sense, doesn't it? Because we locked everyone in the house for 2 years. Your immune system's been having a rest.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Hasn't it? I've been telling people this. You've not been mixing. You've not been exchanging germs. You've all weakened yourself. You've all bathed in fucking hand sanitizer, and now you've got no fucking immune system.
Well, it's not me. I went round licking the doorknobs on Chinese restaurants. I should have been. I should have been good to go.
Yeah, I can't believe Ozzy Osbourne's got it after he bit a bat. Can I?
Chewed through a bat's head.
Yeah.
You know what he said it tasted like? I remember that quote. He said it was like biting into a crunchy wrapped in a chamois leather.
Because he thought it was a fucking toy, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't
thought
know
it was
real.
Toy. I mean, who takes a bat to a concert? For fuck's sake.
So he's less mental than you think, because he actually did think it was a toy.
He thought it was a toy.
Yeah.
So... right, now then, back on. Keep all this in, the lad who's doing the editing, because I like all this bits and bobs, these silly little nattery bits. Now, when you're out in Iraq then, in May 2004, Piers Morgan printed a fucking dodgy story, didn't he? I would have thought that you'd have been out there trying to build relationships with the people of Iraq, you know, say you were the good guys, you aren't there to cause trouble, you're there to protect you. And then this... piece of shit comes out. And the worst thing is, well, not the worst thing is, but Piers Morgan's brother is in the army.
Yeah, he's high ranking, isn't he? Colonel or something.
Yeah, so how did that affect? Did it, obviously I would have thought that, well, they all seen the story out there, didn't they? So
yeah, well, I remember it well. For those of you that don't know, the issue was, basically it was a Scouse TA regiment.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, they were trying to make some easy money by selling pictures to the Daily Mirror of British troops abusing Iraqis. And the thing that
obviously
annoys
didn't
me,
sell them to the Sun then.
No.
I bet the Sun would have paid the iron price.
Yeah. But this is why I have scorn and contempt for Morgan. It's because they weren't even believable. When I seen the paper, the front of the paper, we knew they were fake as soon as we seen them. Because any soldier knew they were fake. Mm. The patches were all wrong. They didn't have the insignia on anyone who was deployed.
Yeah.
They were meant to be pissing on him, right? And you could see, unless it was a 90-year-old with prostate cancer, not some young squaddy, you could see it was a bottle of water. Because it was like a little spot, one individual spot, on his, like going on his face. I was like, that's fake. You could see it was
and
a bottle of
water. And the other thing that got me is that he was wearing an Iraqi flag shirt, weren't he?
Yeah. So he must have known they were fake. He's a professional newspaper editor.
So he says.
I could see they were fake instantly by looking at them. So he must have knew they were fake. And he published them anyway for a cheap story. And it caused... Basically, dozens of lads must have died as a result of that.
Yeah, I would say that.
Because there was wide-scale public disorder as a result of it. I remember seeing them outside the FOB with the photos on placards.
Yeah, they were. I've done my research, I've looked at it, and they have got it up on boards and stuff, haven't they?
They had them on placards, so Morgan has blood on his hands.
I reckon he has.
Genuinely hold him in contempt for that. He must... No, again, it's one thing if he just did it without doing his due diligence, but there's no way that he didn't look at those photos and say, they're fake.
Yeah.
He cynically went, they are fake, but we can still get a good bit of traction out of this.
Yeah, the
so that's why I have loathing for him.
The other thing is... A few days later, he actually printed a story saying these pictures were real.
He didn't even believe it himself.
No.
The man's a snake.
They're fucking horrible, man.
And that's why I made a video called Piers Morgan equals oxygen thief.
Really?
Because that was years ago. He blocked me on Twitter when I sent him that. That was my claim to fame on Twitter before. I've gone through a few accounts on Twitter as well, but he blocked me on Twitter when I sent him that. Piers Morgan, the oxygen thief, because he's an oxygen thief.
He is. He's a horrible person.
Horrible bastard.
Horrible. In fact, really, ain't even a person. And this thing he's doing now on Talk TV, it just goes to sum up how much people actually do like him and, you know.
Yeah.
Because when he was on Good Morning Britain or GMB or whatever the fucking hell it's called, it was just easy watching. Everybody's got a TV.
Yeah.
It was just there. It just went on. Nowadays, they have to go and look for him, and they can't be arsed to look for him.
No. He's... He's about as charismatic as a rattlesnake with a hangover. Nobody wants to watch Piers Morgan.
No.
This is why, again, chippy northerner, I think a lot of stuff is the southerners stitching us up. I know I sound like a scouser now, but loads of these bloody personalities are charmless and dislikable. No. Like people who've got a bit of charisma, they have to make their own way in the world.
Yeah.
People that are thoroughly detestable from down south.
Yeah.
Just put them on the telly.
Yeah.
Look at all the people they put on telly. Just charmless, middle-class, southern
Oliver.
Wankers.
He's
Jamie Oliver's a twat, isn't he?
Yeah.
When
he first came out, I liked him, but nowadays, I just thought...
He's a wanker. Yeah. Like, and then blokes like you have got to make your own way in the world who's actually got a bit of a personality.
Piers
Morgan has got no charisma.
He hasn't. I just don't understand the attraction of him. I don't understand why Rupert Murdoch says here, or he's 50 million over 3 years. What the fuck? He must... I just don't get it.
You know that word reminds me of Piers Morgan. Here's a little factoid for you. You know the Germans have that ability where you can make up words because like you can merge them all together.
Yeah.
There's a great word, it's Backpfeifengesicht. Yeah. Or Backpfeifengesicht. And it basically translates literally as a face you'd never get tired of slapping. And that's what Piers Morgan's got. That's the only thing that's likeable about him. He's just got a face you'd never get tired of slapping.
But the thing is, he comes out and he's always preaching this and practicing that. Do this, do that. And then he's like, he just changes his mind and he's just an horrible person. I just honestly don't understand the attraction in him.
At all, no. No.
He's just a fucking horrible person.
Absolute worm. Yeah. I'd rather, if I had to choose between brushing past Piers Morgan in the street or going on a bender with Bill Cosby for 12 hours, I'd pick the bender. That's how much I hate Bill.
Bill's got a few tales to tell. He's got a few stories. And they're probably proper stories, not made up ones.
Yeah. No, it's not that I'm worried about, mate. It's it's him putting things in my drink and then in me.
Oh, good. Now then, here's the question. I sent you this. I told you I was going to ask it. There's a question going around on politicians and stuff, and I don't know what the idea is. It's just a quite easy question to me. What's your definition of a woman?
Oh, God. I don't think we'll disagree much on this one, will we? I think...
No.
As always, being a man of logic and a man who's unafraid to face the mirror, I like to defer to people who know more than me.
Yeah.
And like that's what I do a lot. I don't think I'm a political savant.
No.
I just listen to cleverer people than me.
Exactly.
Then and make my own mind up.
Yeah, you weigh it all up.
Read everyone's opinions and then make your own mind up. And people like Posy Parker or Meghan Murphy and all these militant feminists,
I
defer to them because they really have done the
homework. Is that the one who sat in that courtroom the other day?
Yeah. Posy Parker, she's good. And I like her and I watch her and she does it in a better way than I could. And she says it is a simple dictionary definition.
Yeah.
And loads of times I've said, but no one related to this subject, just read the dictionary.
Yeah.
Fascist. It's got a dictionary definition. So to me, the dictionary definition of woman, and we'll probably change it now, but I'm going from the 90s dictionary, is good enough.
Yeah.
And it's adult human female.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's my mum.
Yeah. And all I'll say about this is, again, because I'm a socially liberal centrist chap, I am definitely left wing on individual liberty type stuff.
Yes.
I'm not in any way anti-LGBT.
No, I'm not.
Again, people of our generation, we were pro-gay marriage before it was cool.
Exactly. I couldn't care less.
We were pro-gay marriage in the 90s before it was cool.
Yeah.
So what I keep saying is, again, you have to ignore the insane rhetoric from the commies and the wokists and just listen to the majority.
Yeah.
And the majority of people think... If you're a grown-up, you should be free to do what you want, as long as it doesn't harm anybody else.
Exactly.
But the reason it's an issue now is because of safety.
Yes.
And nobody's got a problem. 99% of people haven't got a problem with the LGBT community. They don't wish any harm or ill to them. But they say, listen, there has to be a happy medium between your ability to live your life as free as you want and biological women's ability to be safe.
Yes.
And I've always said that I've got no problem with the T's.
No.
If you're a trans person, good luck to you. Live your life however you want. But you're going to have to put up with a few little restrictions because we have to worry about the safety of the majority. And it's like little things. If you're trans, I agree that you should be able to live your life unmolested. But I don't think you should be allowed to go to the women's prison.
No.
If you've broke the law.
No.
Because you've got to worry about the majority.
You can't have them in a cell with another woman, can you?
When humans are a sexually dimorphic species, men are a lot stronger than women.
Yeah.
That's the hard data.
Yeah.
I remember a PTI telling me this, like, if a woman and a man are the same height and the same weight, typically a man can bench press 40% more than a woman.
Yeah.
But men are much stronger than women. So you have to look out for the women because they're weaker.
Yeah.
So I believe that LGBT people should be free to live their life and we should support them and no one ever should be cruel or unkind to them. But I want common sense restrictions. So.
I think that's the word, isn't it? Or the two words, or the sentence, common sense.
Yeah.
And it seems to have absolutely gone... Could you imagine this as a woman?
Now. Yeah, you'd be a pretty howling woman, Dave.
Especially with my hairstyle.
You'd definitely be more than an eight-pinter.
Yeah. I'm like Pinkerton Smith, wouldn't I?
Yeah. I'd need 12 cans of Stella to get round you, Dave.
You need a fucking map. I agree, mate. I totally agree. It's I can't see the problem in the question. When Keir Starmer was going on the other day, and he just didn't. When you start stuttering, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Just tell us what you think, and that's it.
It's so obvious that he doesn't believe a word of it himself. Again, there's just these cynical politicians. Keir Starmer knows what a woman is.
Yeah. He's been sleeping with one, hasn't he?
Yeah. If Keir Starmer's daughter broke the law and she got sent to Chokey for 30 days for drink driving or something, and they said, do you mind if we put Randy Ron, this big burly bloke with forearms, like tattoos, but oh, he started to identify as a woman last year. We'll just put him in with your 18-year-old daughter, shall we? Yeah. You think he'd go, oh, definitely. I'm 100% behind that.
Yeah, she'll be all right.
This is what I've always used the common sense metric for everything in my life ever since I was a teenager. I remember reading about the insane animal rights activist in the 90s. Ah, the halcyon days of yore when we only had loony animal rights activists. Remember?
Yeah,
because the walk thing wasn't a thing then.
No.
All we used to worry about was insane Greenpeace and animal rights activists. I remember reading about one that dug up an old woman because she got buried in a fur coat. And the poor bastard family went to put some flowers on the grave. Next thing, the fucker's been dug up and she's hanging over the gravestone, honestly. And I was like, well, these people are a bit crazy. And I remember thinking, I don't like them because they're hypocritical. And there was another one where they burnt down a bloke's house and nearly killed him because he worked at a place where they did animal testing on, like, pharmaceutical products. And I remember thinking to myself, you know why I don't like you people? Again, because of the hypocrisy. Because I thought, if this bloke's doing medical science and he finds a drug that could, say, let's say, cure a kid who's got, like, cancer or something.
Yeah.
And this animal rights activist's daughter had this cancer. Yeah. And they said, we can give her this tablet that'll cure her, but it was tested on rabbits.
Yeah.
They'd definitely go, give me it, give me the tablet. So I've always viewed it as, like, again, it's the hypocrisy. Yeah. Keir Starmer says he doesn't know what a woman is until the second it affects Keir Starmer. And then he definitely would.
He would.
Because if his 18-year-old was going to share a cell with Randy Ron, who's now called Angela, I think he'd change his mind very quickly.
Yeah.
And whereas people like me and you, we wouldn't because we're consistent.
Yeah, I am consistent.
I don't need to change my mind depending on individual issues. I'm just logically consistent. So, no, he knows what a woman is.
He does.
And I know what a woman
is. He's trying to play the safe card, isn't he? Yeah. But all he's done is just... I mean, there was some Labour politician the other day come out and said, like, a woman's got a penis, a woman can have a penis. Oh, no.
No,
it doesn't happen.
The little kid on a Kindergarten Cop got that one right when in the 90s.
Yeah, what was that? What?
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
It, yeah. It's easy, isn't
pretty
it?
Pretty easy.
Fuck's sake.
It's not hard.
No. So how do you relax then, mate?
I do exercise or I paint minis. I've always painted miniatures. I've always been at a...
I thought you said minis. I thought you meant like Mark. Cars. Mini
Cooper. Spray cars, yeah. No, I've always been at a 40K. And that's another weird thing, you know, because I've noticed there's a lot of people on YouTube sort of in the sort of centrist, right-wing sort of political spectrum. A lot of them seem to be into it. I know Sargon of Akka does it as well, but I feel like he must be a Johnny come lately because there wasn't really a big thing in the 90s. Like, I went to a tournament at Warhammer World about 15 years ago, there was an online message board called Daka Daka.
Yeah.
I got banned off that as well. Arguing with people.
Do you get banned? Do you get a sense of pride when you get banned?
No, you just can't upset people. No. When people are wrong and I go, ha ha, you were wrong. Here's the piece of evidence that proves you were wrong. The ban me. It's like, oh, this guy's being abusive. What, pointing out that you were wrong isn't me being abusive, is it? No. So, but yeah, I was doing it decades ago. I mean, it really... really took off in the 90s when they did sort of like second edition 40K.
Mm.
And I do that. That's a hobby. So I paint miniatures, just called a hobbyist.
Yeah.
If you're a bit of a trained spotter and you're into it. Or I go to the gym. I still train a lot. Although I will say I probably don't look like it now because I'm in my 40s. It's depressing.
When you're in your 50s, mate. You certainly don't fucking look like it.
Yeah, but it's depressing. When you train, when you're 25, you get a six pack. When you train, when you're 40 odd, you're just training to have a very, very slightly less shitty body than you've got anyway.
That's it, innit?
So I don't look like it, but I do train a lot. I still run 2 or 3 days a week. I go do 10,000 metres on my rowing machine when I'm bored. I like to go on the punch bag, go on the battle ropes in the gym. I do loads of training.
Oh, fair play. I suppose it's there, though, isn't it? I suppose once you've been taught mine, I suppose when you look at Razor Rudder, he don't fucking train anymore.
Some of them rap.
Fucking hell.
For me, it genuinely is, and again, it's a scientific fact that it's good for your mental health.
Yeah.
And I do. Whenever I've been injured, like I tweaked my knee a couple of years ago and I couldn't do any fizz for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I just felt shitty.
Yeah.
So I do it because it's good for your mind.
Yeah,
it is. It's definitely good for
your brain. She makes me, we walk the dogs, and like, I've got this thing now on my watch where I've got to try and do 8,000 steps a day. I know it's not a lot, but it's...
better than a kick up the arse, Dave.
Oh, fucking hell, it is, isn't it? When you look at some people and like, I mean, if I didn't do 8,000 steps a day, I'd be a right fat fucking...
Yeah, well, you do bat. Do some quite a lot of eating.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to knock that on the head. This is why I try to do more podcasts and stuff. So
so you can give your bowels a rest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you're not in that bad shape. It's definitely good for your brain. Yeah. I recommend it to anyone who's struggling with anything. The amount of difference doing a little bit of physical training can make for you, both your mental and your physical health, is profound.
I find that when we have actually been out for a walk, I fucking hate it. But when I'm back, I think, yeah, they're all right, really.
It's good for your brain.
Yeah. So there you go, people. If you're fat, do
if you're fat, don't be.
Yeah.
Don't
be. If you're fat, I mean, all right, I'm carrying a few pounds, but go and do some fucking walking and eat less, move more. Yeah. That's what it is, isn't it?
Again, not rocket science, is it?
Yeah. What made you start doing YouTube then, mate?
Again, I've been politically minded for over a decade. I've been writing on Quora for about 10 years. It's one of the things I always fancied doing because I'm a natural talker, but I've got no technical ability, and I think I was a bit lazy. For years, I fancied getting into it.
Has YouTube and this made you more intelligent talking-wise, or has it made you come out more, or can you phrase yourself better?
I don't really think so.
You don't
I thought you were going to say it made you more technically proficient. It's made me more technically proficient, but I have been a gobshite my entire life.
Yeah.
It's either in your brain or it isn't.
Yeah.
Because the human brain's immensely complex.
Yeah, it is. I know what you mean.
It's just part of your personality.
I'd love somebody like you on talk radio or talk TV. Or whatever. I think it'd be fucking brilliant.
You'd have to let the other people talk, though. I'm not as good at that. I suppose, it's probably made me a better listener. I do make myself listen to people more now. Because I like the sound of my own voice. I know it's a failing.
Mm.
You shouldn't be a total gobshite. Mm. You need to be a happy medium. But it's my way I am. I took my wife to see me nan. I always remember the first time she'd ever met her.
Yeah.
And my nana and my wife are sat there having a cup of tea talking. And I'm just like wandering in the front room doing circles, talking bollocks. And my nana was like, he's been like this since he was two. Like, ever since I was a tiny little kid, I just never shut up. Yeah. I'll talk to anyone. I can talk to a glass eye to sleep.
I'm the same.
You're clearly, and that's the type of personality that you need to be good at YouTube.
My missus will say, we'll go into a pub and I'll be in there. And also, I'll just start talking to someone.
Yeah, I do.
Who's he? So I fucking know, do I? Yeah. Just some bloke started talking to.
Yeah.
And it's there.
Yeah, and that's a natural thing. And I think that's the best type of personality for it because it's quite a skill to be able to sit and just talk.
Yeah.
You know, like when I do my live streams,
I mean, the reason why I've done this is because, like, I watch Matty on his live streams on Angry Boon. I'll put all the links below. But he just talks and talks and talks, and he'll go off on about four different subjects and then pull it back.
Yeah, but it is a skill, isn't it? Not everyone can do it.
No, you can't do it.
And I just like to, like, get four or five news stories up and just read them and go through them and dissect them. I think that I've probably got better at listening to other people's opinions rather than just riding roughshod over them, because, like I said, that's what I used to do. I was a bit... Again, I'm intolerant of bad ideas.
Yeah.
I can't help it. Like, again, emotions mean nothing to me.
Yeah.
If you say, like, if you just tell me something that's wrong, I can't not... I'm there going...
Yeah.
My wife saw it. If it's in a pub and I'm listening to another person talking, it's just wrong. I'm like... Ugh. My wife's like, don't say anything, because she knows I'm going to go, here, you're talking shite.
Well, we went in a pub once. And there was this old boy, he were in his 90s, 80s, 90s, and he were banging on about Brexit and how good it was and all this, and this is the way, and all that. And then I went up to him at the end, and I actually bought him a pint, and I shook his hand and says, I agree with everything you said there.
Yeah.
Because the other ones were like disagreeing with him. I were like, everything you said was spot on there, mate.
Class.
I gave him a pint of beer.
Yeah, class. That's why I like Wetherspoons so much, because he was all for Brexit.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm back in England, I always go all around the Wetherspoons. I walk up to people in Nottingham last time, I was like, excuse me, mate, where's the nearest Wetherspoons?
Yeah.
And this old boy was like, oh, it's just down there. And I went, he's a good lad, him, Tim. I was like, you know, trying to encourage people to like Wetherspoons, because he's stuck
is,
up for
it.
Again, that is a great example of what we were talking about earlier, about the sort of bourgeois movement, because all of the working class people voted for Brexit.
Yeah.
I can tell you whether or not a town was pro-Brexit based off how much of a shithole it is.
Yeah.
I've done it on my YouTube channel. I was like, go on, name some places. And someone's like, Harrogate.
Yeah.
I'm like, Remain.
Yeah.
Tell me somewhere else. Hartlepool, Brexit.
Yeah, Brexit.
You can tell. Yeah, you and can. Somehow, because the insane, insufferable wokists run the world, they've made it that Brexit was all the rich people.
Yeah.
I'm like, hang on. It was, Remain was all the rich people, all the politicians, all the big bankers, all the global businesses, all of the, everyone. And the people who wanted to leave were scaffolders from Leeds.
Yeah.
And somehow they've turned it around in the last few years and just said, oh, yeah, all the rich wanted Brexit. No, it's all Jacob Rees-Mogg. It was working class people.
Everybody, weren't it?
Working class people.
Yeah, it was. You're right. They turned it all around and it's just gone completely fucking ridiculous again. But there you go.
We're living in the post-truth era.
Yeah, we are.
Post-truth era. Up is down and left is right.
Yeah.
Because they learned...
I waited for you to say that. You ought to have that on merchandise.
Up is down, but it's madness.
Yeah.
It's madness.
Yeah,
we're living in the post-truth era because they realised that it wasn't about changing people's minds. All it's about is controlling the narrative.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what Tony Blair did. Started that long march through the institutions.
Yeah.
And they realised we don't need to change people's minds. We don't need to win an argument. Mm. We just have to control the radio waves, the TV networks, the printed media. And if you do that, you don't need to win the argument.
And that's been proved in the last and two that's and been a half proven. Years.
All they do is lie.
Yeah.
All they do is lie. And they're always wrong.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
No, because they just do what they fucking always want.
Always wrong. Wuhan. Everybody was saying it. Trump was saying it. Like, it come
China.
From a lab in Wuhan. No, definitely. Two and a half years later, it sort of did.
Yeah.
Let's just pretend we never said it.
That fire they had there as well, that were lucky, weren't it?
Hunter's laptop.
Hunter's laptop. Can we mention him?
Are we allowed to? Himself. Yeah. But seriously, it's all Russian propaganda.
Yeah.
100% right.
Yeah.
So it's disappeared.
It all comes out in the end. Somebody. The only time something like this hasn't been kept quiet or out the news is the McCanns. They know something.
Oh yeah.
And that's still being hidden. There's something there.
That's a good one to talk
but
about.
Everything else, it all comes out. The truth always comes out in the end.
Have I told you my theory about that? What annoys me about the McCanns again? Because I'm a chippy Norman.
Go on then. We'll have that.
Basically,
you only live up the road, you know.
Yeah.
When I used to live with my missus at Rothley. A cricket ball throw away from my house.
Mm. Well, I think that's more of the class state of Britain, that. Because if Madeline and Jerry McCann were unemployed dollies from Hartlepool that have got nicked, and there would be, everyone would know. But because they were middle-class arseholes who read The Guardian, they let them off.
Yeah.
The doctors. Honestly, if two chavs from Borough went out on the piss on holiday and left the kids on their own in the house... They'd have got nicked the next day.
The houses had been burnt down by the time they got home.
Yeah, they'd have got nicked the next day. Because the middle class arseholes, they got to meet the Pope.
Yeah.
It's bollocks. I mean, I don't know that they definitely did something dodgy. Maybe it is plausible that it was an accident.
Yes, I reckon.
Because the doctors, they thought, we'll get away with it. We'll hide it.
Yeah.
But that's what I think. I think it was probably an accident. And because there are clever bastards... They thought, okay, we can add this, cover it up. But if they were poor, they'd have got nicked.
Yeah. Did you watch the drama on BBC called The Cry?
No.
I can't remember her name. She was in Doctor Who and she was the queen in The Crown. The young girl, the black hair. Really, really, really pretty girl. And anyway, there's a drama out called The Cry. And this couple go on holiday and something happens. And it is... basically the McCanns. So if you get chance, just on the internet, The Cry.
I'll have to have a look.
What's her name? I can't remember her name. People, put a name down below the comment. Yeah. I think that's people do it. It's fucking brilliant. Right, so you do YouTube. What do you reckon of the control on YouTube? Because you've been banned or suspended.
What we said earlier about controlling the narrative is clearly and aggressively the case in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
My channel's been staggeringly
snuffed out, really, isn't it?
Snuffed out.
Yeah.
I mean, the easiest way to see it is the community section.
Yeah.
Because when I used to put a community post on, it's annoying because this is like 2 years ago when I had about 1,000 followers. If I went out on the piss, I'd put on my community centre section, I'm in Wetherspoons in Nottingham, and I'd get loads of beers off the fans. I was like, this is great. Now, you can't do it because nobody sees them.
No.
If you go back a year, my average community post would get a couple of thousand upvotes.
Yeah.
Now, the average one gets about 12.
It's unbelievable. Is that, since I've
snuffed it out.
Yeah, since I've gone more political or more topical or more current affairs, my views have dropped. And I've obviously said the wrong thing. I'm not that I'm particularly bothered, because people seem to think I rely on YouTube for my income. I don't. I've got something else cracking off. But it is amazing how they do control what you say.
Completely.
It's fucking frightening.
It's frightening.
You're not frightened, folks, about the control. You fucking should be. Because it is frightening of how they can manipulate of what you can put out there and say and do.
What you can see.
Well, you did something on Twitter about me, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Shadow banned.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's 100%. And again, this is what, it's a known fact, and they still deny it.
Yeah.
It's a known fact. They did it to Trump, Ted Cruz, all these famous people. And then people go, no, we don't do that. You do.
You do. Fucking do it. It's obvious.
I was getting at 2,000 upvotes on average when I had 1,000 followers. Mm. Now I've got, 11,000, and I get about 12 people see it. So, you do it.
It's ridiculous.
Everybody knows it.
I don't normally do this, of course I've stopped doing it, but if you're watching this and you enjoy it, I'll just click on Matty's link below and go and follow him and see if we can get him a few hundred subs or whatever. So we'll wind this up then, mate. So where do you see yourself in the future?
Still
in the States.
Leading on from what we've just been saying, if you're talking about professionally, I'll still be doing this as a hobby.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be something that you can pay the bills with. But I'll probably always make content, because this is what I've been saying about it. If they think they can get me to shut up by not showing anyone my work, they've got another thing coming, because I like talking bollocks for fun.
Yeah.
It's my pleasure.
I fucking love it.
Yeah. I joke about having a rage boner. When I get angry reading the BBC, it gets me erect. I like it. So I do it for pleasure.
Yeah.
I'll always keep doing it regardless of whether or not anybody sees it.
Yeah. I reckon more people should set up, even if you get you set up your own little channel and you voice your opinions, even if you're left wing, right wing or centrist or whatever, just set up your own little channel and record it.
It's the future.
It is.
Because the old media's dying.
It is.
Look at the platform something like the BBC's got. Mm. And they still only get 300,000 views or something.
Yeah.
It's like there's people on YouTube who get literally 50 times the views.
Well, just look at Russell Brand.
Yeah, exactly. 6 million.
6 million and it's just unreal. And he gets hundreds of thousands of views. He released something the other day. His notification bell goes.
Yeah, his
yours
does.
Don't.
Because he's an old lefty, so I like him.
And it's within 2 minutes, he's got something 15,000 views.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking unbelievable.
It just goes to show what we could achieve if we weren't getting strangled.
Yeah.
Hopefully, as it gets worse and worse, more platforms will take off.
Yeah.
But as it stands, it is still YouTube and Twitter.
People are actually realising and waking up more so. Anyway, thank you for this, Matty. I really appreciate it.
Cheers,
mate. This is going to be the thumbnail, so smile at the camera. I really appreciate it. I mean, you've only over here for a couple of days, ain't you? Such
a week. Yeah. A little Sunday.
And to come over here and do this for me, mate, it's absolutely, I'm really, really honoured that you've done it.
Pleasure. I like talking bollocks to people. Yeah, it's great.
It's good stuff. Like I say, get over to Matty's channel, go and subscribe to him if you like what he says. If you don't like what he says, fucking tough, innit?
Don't bother.
Don't bother then. He'll only say more of what this is. And
upset you.
It does go a little bit more extreme. All right, folks, thank you for that. And there will be more podcasts coming up. I've got some new stuff sorted and hopefully it will be massive. Okay, folks, thank you. Say bye, Matty.
Cheers. See you later.